You're listening to Doc Talk with your host, that's me, Dr. Adam Nally. Listen and learn as we take complex health topics and make them clear, understandable, and applicable to your life. My desire is that you find the answers to the burning questions that you have, answers that will get you back on track, improve your health, and let you be who you are meant to be. Whatever your reason, thank you for being here. I'm so glad you're joining me today. Let's get started. Well, if you didn't have a chance to listen to episode 10, I highly recommend you do, because Laura Sargent asked a question about blood sugar, and she actually responded to me, and I thought I'd give you her answer to me, or her response to me, at the beginning of this episode. She said, Dr. Nally, thank you so much for answering my question on your podcast on February 12th. That's episode 10. And thanks for the encouragement. I will absolutely up my resistance training frequency, and I'm going to quit drinking tea. Everything else I'm already doing or attempting. Sleep's pretty bad. I'm absolutely one of those people that, yes, in 2 years, or really 4 years, my blood sugars are still high. If I'm ruthlessly strict carnivore over a long period of time, I can get the blood sugars down to 90. But if I waver at all, even just one slip, the blood sugar jumps to 110, which is very discouraging. I understand, Laura. I'm one of those people too. And I think you're absolutely right about the blood glucose levels that you quote when the weight loss happens. That's what I've been seeing for years. So I'd say follow that advice if you can. That has been my experience. She states, no weight loss until my sugar's under 80. And then I think then it dips even lower than that in the middle of the night. I've been able to achieve that a few times. She says, then I started drinking tea again and try to keep from snacking. She says, as I said, I'll stop that. So here's looking forward to implementing your suggestions. I've downloaded the exercise list and we'll start today. Thank you again. Your advice is invaluable. Laura Sargent, Austin, Texas. Thank you, Laura, for the response and giving us some background there. Good luck to you. I'm sure it will work. That's what I had to do myself. So keep it up. Chris actually sent in another question, and he said, hi, Dr. Nally. I've been hearing a lot about creatine lately. Can you share your thoughts on it? Is it worth taking, and when is the best time to use it? Thanks. Well, Chris, thank you for your question. I'm actually excited by this question, as I haven't had a chance to talk about creatine in quite a while. Creatine supplementation has been shown to actually help a number of things, and we're going to talk about those. One of the more recent interesting articles shows that creatine supplementation actually helps short-term memory function in vegans and vegetarians, which should tell you something about those diets. Regarding other cognitive domains, Averingos and his group looked at the effects of creatine supplementation on cognitive function of healthy individuals. They did a systematic review of, I think, about 300 articles. And they actually showed that regarding other cognitive domains, such as long-term memory, spatial memory, memory scanning, attention, executive function, response inhibition, word fluency, reaction time, and mental fatigue, there was some conflicting results. Performance on cognitive tests stayed unchanged with creatine use, but like I said, it was short-term memory. Vegans, vegetarians, and those who are older seem to actually have improvement with the use of oral creatine, mainly in the short-term memory. Now, that was one finding that was back in 2018. Two other studies are quite fascinating. Again, these are literature reviews that these folks did. Dr. Kreter and his group in 2003 looked at 500-plus research studies, and 70% of them showed improvement in strength and muscle size gain, but 30% of them didn't show much improvement. Generally, those that improved showed between 5 and 15% improvement in maximal effort, 1 to 5% improvement in single effort sprints, and 5 to 15% improvement in work performed during repetitive sprint activities. Now, Kreter and his colleagues went back again and looked at creatine in 2021 and published a study in Nutrients, and they showed that generally most people will see a 10 to 20% improvement in their lifetime athletic activity if they use creatine on a daily basis long term. Since it's Valentine's Day, I thought I'd talk about some interesting effects that they identified with creatine in the heart. In 1986, Anjovsky and his colleagues demonstrated that 300 milligrams of creatine per day decreased the prevalence of arrhythmia in canines or in dogs. And in 2016, Balestrino and his colleagues found that creatine improved myocardial function during and after a heart attack or myocardial ischemia and decreased the arrhythmias post-myocardial infarction or post-heart attack. There's also evidence that creatine is helpful in the use in cardiac rehab in improving heart failure that had occurred with heart attacks. So if you were my patient, I would put you into a ketogenic diet and give you 3 to 5 grams of creatine per day to help your heart. There's nothing like bacon, creatine, and weightlifting to cure a broken heart. Creatine plays a critical role in cellular metabolism, particularly during periods of stress, they found. Increasing availability of creatine in tissue may enhance the actual cellular metabolism and lessen the severity of injury or disease, particularly when oxygen availability is compromised. So in patients with COPD or asthma, you may actually see some improvement in helping with cellular stress and cellular metabolism. Creatine is actually made in the human liver from arginine and glycine, which are two amino acids, and the remaining needs come from red meat and fish. That's the main sources. 95% of creatine is stored in the muscle, and the remainder is in the heart, brain, and the testes. Vegetarians and vegans usually have 20 to 30% lower levels of creatine stores in their muscles. So it should tell you something about those type of diets. Creatine is essential in providing ATP through the use of creatine kinase, or what docs often refer to as CK in the PCR system. It provides the ability to replenish the depleted ATP levels during high energy demand states like exercise, mental fatigue, or in a number of disease states, which we'll talk about in just a minute. Normal sized human needs 2 to 3 grams of creatine per day to maintain normal stores. After a comprehensive review of the literature, the International Society of Sports Nutrition, or the ISSN, concluded that creatine is, quote, the most effective ergogenic nutritional supplement currently available to athletes in terms of increasing high-intensity exercise capacity and lean body mass during training. And it's generally accepted as safe. So I thought I would just identify, as Chris had asked, where does creatine find benefit in? And so interestingly, with this in this literature review of about 500 articles that Kreeter and his colleagues looked at, they identified a number of things. Now, they identified that creatine use long-term, and then we're talking about 3 to 5 grams per day, improves cholesterol and triglycerides, fat reduction in the liver. It reduces homocysteine with the secondary cardiac effects and improving heart disease risk. It has an antioxidant effect. And actually, we talked about it briefly in the last podcast. Creatine actually improves the immune response via the NF-kappa-B signaling pathway. Remember, it does this because you're enhancing muscle mass. And as you get stronger, enhanced muscle mass, you're going to see increased protein production or hormone production of interleukin-6 and tumor necrosis factor alpha within the muscle group, and controlling those hormone levels fairly effectively. Because of that, you're going to see some enhancement, including blood sugar control. It's going to slow the progression of some forms of cancer. We talked about the fact that it increases strength and muscle mass. Because you're actually increasing muscle, you're going to minimize bone loss and improve osteoporosis or osteopenia, which is the bone thinning. You'll see an increased functional capacity in those patients with osteoarthritis and fibromyalgia. They showed increased memory in older populations, and as we pointed out now the fourth time, vegans and vegetarians, improved effect of some antidepressants in depression and actually bipolar disorder. They actually showed, well, we know that as you actually improve your muscle mass, you're going to see the hormone production from the muscle is going to decrease depression and decrease bipolar disorder. There's been some attenuation or improvement in brain, I should say slowing in brain atrophy or brain shrinkage in Huntington's disease. They didn't see this with ALS or Parkinson's, but they did see it in Huntington's disease. There's a 25% reduction in the volume of brain damage if it's used after stroke or traumatic brain injury or TBI. So, you know, if you're using this in the football field, you're going to see 25% reduction in brain volume damage after a head injury. These effects were seen in those particular areas when they used 3 grams of creatine consumption or more per day. Now, there's an interesting fact as well, because we have a med spa in my office, and topically applied creatine rapidly penetrates into the skin and stimulates collagen synthesis. It influences gene expression and protein. Additionally, the topical application of creatine continuing formulations for about 6 weeks will reduce the sagging cheeks that you find in the jowl area, the crow's feet in the wrinkles, and the wrinkles under the eyes. The researchers looking at that concluded that creatine represents a pretty beneficial active ingredient for topical use in the prevention and treatment of human skin aging. So there's evidence there that it supports skin health. So, Chris, that's a great question. I appreciate you asking that because it gets us a chance to look at some of the more recent literature and the tremendous improvement we see with the use of creatine. Previously, when I'd answered these questions back when on the previous keto talk, there wasn't a lot of data coming out about creatine at the time. But I would say as a protein supplement, it's actually great, and I would highly encourage it, especially 3 to 5 grams per day, especially if you have any the risks we talk about with those disease processes. I think it's actually great, and I would highly recommend it. Thank you for asking, and send your questions off to us, and you guys have a great Valentine's Day. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
If you have a question that you'd like discussed on Doc Talk, I'd love to answer it. I cannot give individual advice or recommendations, but we can answer the question in an educational format and give you some tools to make educated decisions about your health. If you have a question, email it to questions@docmuscles.com. Again, that's questions@docmuscles.com, docmuscles.com. If you are interested in more personal instruction and information on any of these topics discussed here, go to docmuscles.com/membership to learn more and sign up to be a part of my health and coaching services. It only takes a couple of minutes to learn more about your health. Again, that's docmuscles.com/membership.